And I noticed some of the ministers here and the pastors, the evangelists. A leader among ministers. A ministry that, as we often express it, God has chosen to spearhead or lead a great move of God. A restoration revival that we believe to be the last great move of God before Jesus comes again.
They get up and say, "Now, folks, if you ain't got any other place to go to church on Sunday, why don't you come over to my church? If you ain't got anything else to do Sunday," that's weird. That is what I told them when I was a pastor. Now, we appreciate all these fine pastors that have made their announcements tonight, their coming meetings and the locations of their churches. And God bless every one of them. But I'd just like to add a little bit to what some of these pastors have said. They've told you where their churches are located and when they're having services. But I'm going to tell you exactly how scriptural it is for you to get out and come out of some of these old cold, dead, dry, formal churches and go visiting next Sunday morning. I believe it's Bible to go visiting on Sunday. Now, you're going to, after I get through here, you're going to find out why some of these pastors don't like me. But if Jesus is standing up here, he'd say the same thing I say, only he might be rougher. How many times did Jesus preach in the organized denominational church of his day? Why, he went only in one synagogue and preached one time? They would never let him come back. You know why? Well, he went to one of those cold, dead denominational churches, cast the devil out of a person, and from that time on, he never was welcome back anymore. And we find Jesus ministering and holding his campaigns or having his church out on the lonely hillside, out on the seashore, out in the fields and in the meadows and in the marketplace. And he had a big church wherever he went. Because the Bible says multitudes followed him. Multitudes followed him wherever he went. And it's certainly biblical, according to the Apostle Paul, that if you go to one of these old, cold, dead, formal churches to go visiting and start looking for a better one. Because he said in the last days some would have a form of godliness, denying the power of God thereof. From such, turn away. Turn away. And that doesn't mean go get your church letter. They won't give it to you. It doesn't mean withdraw your membership. They won't let you. It means exactly what it says. Get up. Shake the dust off of your feet. Find another church where the power of God's falling and they preach the truth. From such, turn away. Amen.
Amen.
You find in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, now everything I say, I back up with Bible. Ezekiel is talking to the preachers. And he said, "Woe to the shepherds that are interested only in feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" And Ezekiel is in Texas. They say, "Lord, the boom on those modernistic pastors of his day." And it was all under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Why, he said, "Woe to the shepherds that feed themselves," meaning themselves only. "Should not the shepherds feed the sheep of the flock?" He said, "What do you mean we haven't fed the flock?" And Ezekiel said, "The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed the sick. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. Neither have you bound up that which was broken." But he said, "With force and with cruelty have you ruled them?" But And God says in the same chapter, Ezekiel 34 said, I am against the shepherds that are standing at the gate of the sheepfold, most of them man-made sheep pens, with a whip of wrath, a cruel whip of selfishness, a cruel whip of pride, jealousy, fear, and denominationalism. And instead of feeding the sheep, they're beating the sheep. My God, if the sheep had any wool on them, them shepherds would beat it all off. Because a lot of God's sheep today, instead of getting fed, they're just getting the beating. One woman came, they come to us all the time, but a woman said to me, said, Brother Allen, said, I don't know what to do. Said, every time I go to church, said, my pastor never has anything positive anymore. Just something negative. Said, he never preaches anymore. Said, all he does is stand up and belittle and tear down and criticize everybody else. And said, I get so sick and tired of it. She said, this is why we have to come to your meeting, to get a little grass, to get a little food. Our sheep are starving to death. Said, all my pastor does is get up and just run all you evangelists down. Just say mean, nasty things about everybody but himself. And she said, I'm just starved to death. What shall I do? I said, lady, you got a problem. But I sure wouldn't stay in the sheep pen where all the shepherd did was beat me. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yes. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. God's ministers are called to feed the sheep, not to beat them. Back me up with some amens, folks. A lot of you people know about all you get on Sunday morning is just a good beating. Is it the power of the Spirit or another spirit? Come out of a bottle. Uh-huh. Take him around the back. We'll come out there and cast that spirit out of him in a minute. Well, be not drunken with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'd like to get your eyes off him and get your eyes on God. And if all of you get just as drunk on the Holy Ghost as he is out of something else, we'll have church tonight. Say yes! Raise your hands and ask God to let you get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes! Get so filled with the Spirit, get so drunk on this new vine. My God, you won't even know you're down on the floor. But I just want to say a few words to all of my friends here tonight. Listen, your God-given biblical scriptural Christian rights are to meet God anywhere you can meet him. Find God anywhere you can find him. Worship God anywhere you can locate him or find him. Whether it's on the mountainside, on the seashore, as they found Jesus and worshiped him in Bible days, New Testament times. If the only place you can find Jesus is climbing a tree, climb a tree like Zacchaeus did. Get saved in the treetop and come down and make restitution and start giving back to everybody everything you ever stole. If the only place you can find God like Jacob did is in a hard spot, miles away from everybody else, alone with your head on a rock, find God. And when you find God, call that place Bethel. Jacob named that place Bethel because there he found God. He called his church Bethel. Mind you, it was there that he promised God to pay his tithes too. Say, Jacob, how in the world are you going to pay your tithes? What will the priests do? Don't you know you don't belong? What business have you got out here starting a new church? What's the priest, what's the pastor, what's the shepherd going to do if he finds out you're out here in this dry, barren place starting a new church and naming it Bethel? You're getting awful quiet, because most of you know what I'm going to say. But our God-given inheritance in the New Testament is to try the spirits, to see if they be of God, instead of letting some old backslid shepherd that's mad at everybody else, jealous of all the other preachers, try the spirits for you. God didn't say let your old backslid preacher try the spirits for you. Said you try the spirits. See if they be of God. But generally, the only spirits you can try, if your shepherd is the same kind of Ezekiel was describing, is an old backslid preacher or shepherd that's interested only in your wool and your mutton chops or your lamb chops. He don't feed you, and he don't want nobody else to feed you. He's not giving you very much, and he's afraid that you're going to find out there's something available over Sister Sheffield's or somewhere else. And he'll do everything he can to keep you from going anywhere else. And he'll declare that our denomination is the denomination. Our church is the church. And this particular group is the body. Therefore, you have no business paying your tithes anywhere else, placing an offering anywhere else, making a pledge anywhere else. But he sure can't back it up with Bible. I said he certainly can't back that statement up with Bible. Anybody that tells you you can't give Jesus an offering wherever you find him is a liar. And the truth isn't in him. And any man that says you can't worship Jesus wherever you meet him and wherever you find him is a liar. And you can find Jesus anywhere you want to make yourself an altar. And if some of these preachers have been telling you the only place you can find Christ, worship Christ, and give to Christ is in that four walls of that own of their own denomination, hear me, then he is plainly declaring that that's the only place Christ is. That Christ is nowhere else. And you know that isn't true. Christ can't be confined to one little church, one little group, one little denomination. My God, he's everywhere. My God, he's right here in the Rockland Palace Ballroom tonight. Say yes. Say yes. You know he's here, don't you? My God, wave your hand at him. Then if Jesus is here, you have a perfect right to bring him a gift. And you have a perfect right to give the Lord his money. Because the tithe is the Lord's. And wherever you find the Lord, you can give him back his money. Is that right? And anybody that tells you where you have to go to church, where you are compelled to go and where you can't go, what you can believe and what you can't believe, where you can give and where you cannot give, where you have to give and where you'd better not give, you know what he's doing? He's just ruling you with force and with cruelty. I want to tell you, if anything's unscriptural, it's for a so-called preacher, a so-called shepherd, to rule the sheep with force and with cruelty. Build a man-made fence around a little bunch of people and tell them, you better not let me catch you. And then laying the law down to you. Why, such is bondage. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's not Christianity. We are all one big family. The scripture calls us fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, brethren, children of the Lord. Amen? Jesus is my brother. God is my father. We are all children of God. We are brothers and sisters. I have four children. Paul, Mary, James, and John. I'm the head of the house. When they were all home. But Jimmy got married first. Went off and built his own home. Mary got married next and went off and built her home. Johnny got married next and went off and started having children. Building a home. Do you mean I got up there? And I said, now listen here, Johnny. Don't you let me catch you or ever hear of you. Go into Jimmy's house. And it's Christmas time and you'd better never let it come to my ears or let it come to my attention that you, Johnny Allen, have sent Jimmy Allen a Christmas present. Did I get Johnny and Jimmy together and say, now listen, don't you let me ever hear of you even writing Mary a letter or calling her on the phone or saying hello to her or paying her a visit. They're still brothers and sisters. They still visit each other's homes and have a great time of fellowship together. Why, during my last campaign in San Jose, California, Paul's in the Army. He's the only one that's not married yet. But I guess he's on his way. But every weekend, he came down to stay from a day to 2 days. Where? With his father. While we're under that tent. I'm still his daddy. He's still my son. He's still the brother to Jimmy and Johnny. And he's still the brother of Mary. When Paul recently came home from Turkey, he stopped at Mary's house. He went from there to Johnny's home over in California. And from there went up to Oregon to see his brother James. Why? Because they're all still brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And if we're one big family in God, if we're all brothers and sisters, why can't we get together? Amen. If you're my brother and you're my sister, since I'm a man, I have to be the brother to all of you. Why can't you come and see your brother? Are you listening to me? Who is it that tells you? You'd better not let me catch you going over there and listening to your brother or greeting your brother or taking him a present. I'm your brother. You're my sister. We're born of Christ, born of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We be brethren. Amen. We're brothers and sisters. What kind of a preacher is it that says you can't even go see your brother? How many of you know I'm your brother? Woo! Reach your arms out here and get arms around me. Let me hug every one of you. Come on. Get your arms out here. You know you're my brother. You know you're my sister. She's my sister. Amen. Amen. Come here, son. This is my brother. Stand right here. And I'll show you what the Bible says we can do. Not only go see your brother, but greet your brother. With a holy kiss. Now, I didn't say anything about kissing the sisters. Just the brothers. So you never see us brothers kissing the sisters. But we do see some of these sisters kissing the brethren because the Bible says, greet your brethren with a holy kiss. So I guess that's all right if you keep it holy. Oh, yes! Say yes! When it gets to a place where it's not holy, you better quit kissing. Well, I think it's sweet sometime to see these dear old mothers come up and kiss Brother Gene and kiss Brother David and kiss Brother Ross. I don't even mind if some of the old ones
kiss me, but I board these young ones. Well? But we're all brothers. We're all sisters. We are one big family. And God's family cannot be divided with denominational lines and man-made barriers and man-made walls called church walls or church denominations, man-made sheep pens. Friend, we're all one big family. The church isn't just tied in to one denomination. The church isn't just boundaried by four walls of one church building. The church is made up of all God's children around the world, black, white, yellow, brown, black, tan, red. It doesn't matter what color you are. As long as your heart's been washed white, you're born again, we're children of God, we're children of the Most High God, and we're the church. And the head of the church is Jesus. And if you can find Jesus in a tree, like Zacchaeus, climb that tree and worship him. And if you have to find Jesus by the road, like Bartimaeus did, then find Jesus there by the roadside. And if you have to fight and press and battle your way through the press to worship him and touch him in a huge public meeting where there's thousands pressed around him trying to touch him, then get in the crowd and start pressing, scratching, pushing, shoving, but get to Jesus. Because listen, God wants you to worship Jesus. And you never worship him until you meet him and your spirit meets God. Can you say yes with me?
Yes.
And whoever it is that tells you what you can believe and what you cannot believe, what you have to believe and what you had better not believe, and especially when it comes to condemning all other preachers that don't have their names on their denominational book, when they tell you what you have to practice and what you cannot practice, where you have to worship God and where you cannot worship God, where you can go to meet the Lord and where you cannot go to meet God without backing it up the Bible, you'd better disregard everything your ears have heard and take your Bible for a guide. As I tell you, we're living in the day and the hour when you need to meet God whenever and wherever you can. That's why I believe if you're not finding God where you've been going to church, you ought to go visiting Sunday morning. Say, well, if my preacher or some of my saints find out that I'm not there, then they're going to ask where I was. Well, honey, if you're that bound and you're that afraid of him, you better just knuckle down and just let him keep beating you. Just let him continue to ride you with force and with cruelty. But Jesus isn't coming back for people that's in bondage. He's coming back for a church that is free. Amen. The greatest preacher that I know, the greatest preacher ever read about, the greatest sermons ever preached, the greatest shepherd or pastor that I know, is the one that David referred to, said, the Lord is my shepherd. Is there anything wrong with Jesus being your shepherd? And I don't believe he's a commercial shepherd. I believe he's the good shepherd. And listen, if it is sin for you to come to my meetings, according to some preachers, then it would have been a sin for those that were Jews back in Christ's day that belonged to the synagogue, that belonged to that denomination of his hour, his day. It would have been a sin for them to have left their cold, dead synagogues and followed Jesus to the mountainside or the seaside or to the park or the marketplace or the public place to hear him and to be healed. But of all the places where the multitudes followed him, and they were out of these cold, dead denominational churches. Because they were denominational churches of his time. But Evidon knew that never one time did he rebuke them for coming out of their church to meet him, to hear him, to receive the teaching, hear the preaching, and receive his touch. He never rebuked Zacchaeus. I tell you this, Zacchaeus was sure out of his church. But they were having church when he climbed that tree to get a look at Jesus. He got saved then and there, and when he came down out of the tree, confessed all of his faults and said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to get back all the money, and what all sins I've done, I'm going to make restitution, and I'm going to give the money back to him. Jesus never rebuked him for it. And when the rich young ruler came running to the Lord, he had come straight from his church, a denominational church, and he inquired the way of eternal life. You see, he wasn't getting what he needed in his church. So he had to leave his church to get a little knowledge, to learn something. So he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus did not rebuke him and send him back to his church. And if a lot of these preachers are right by building a wall around you and telling you you can't go anywhere else to church, you can't worship God anywhere else, you can't come to these meetings or can't even go visiting to another church like Sister Sheffield's or some of these other pastors, then Jesus sinned when he permitted that church member to come to his meeting. Jesus sinned when he preached to him. And Jesus sinned when he told him to go and sell everything he had. For this would be the unpardonable sin. As far as some of these modern preachers are today, when their church members come and the only sermon they hear is, go, sell whatsoever thou hast, give whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me. Amen. But do you notice what Jesus preached? And Jesus didn't say, go and sell whatsoever you've got, and take it back to the synagogue, and take it back to your old dead church. Amen? And if it's a sin for people to come into this meeting and make pledges, or make vows, or pay their tithes, or give their offerings, why did Jesus freely give his permission for that man to sell everything he had? Now, don't tell me he wasn't religious. He belonged to a church. He said, Lord, all these things have I observed from my youth up. But he said, what lack I yet? Jesus said, one thing you haven't been getting in your church. He said, that's why I'm giving it to you right now. He said, one thing thou lackest. He was just following the cold, dead letter of the law. He wasn't even saved. He wasn't even on his way to heaven. He was on his way to hell. Because in that cold, dead denomination, they hadn't even told him the way of life. I said, if it was a sin, if he shouldn't go anywhere else to church, why, if he'd never gone anywhere else to church, he never would have heard the word of God. But one sinful, the one thing about it, the pathetic thing, he'd been in that old cold dead church so long, when he did hear the truth, it was like pouring water on a duck's back. It didn't do a bit of good. And he went to hell. You listen? The sixth chapter of Luke, the Bible said, and the multitudes came to hear him and to be healed. Do you know who they were? Most of them were church members out of other churches. Coming to an independent, undenominational preacher that didn't belong to any of them. This is why they didn't like him. See, he preached to everybody. And he wouldn't be tied down with denominationalism. The reason they didn't like him in the sixth chapter of Luke, but he was healing them all. And if you can't bring your offerings to meetings like this, and if some of you that belong to one church can't go to Sister Sheffield's and give her your tithes, and can't help her build a church or give her an offering to some of these other pastors, I want to show you how unscriptural it is for preachers to tell you that. Why did Jesus in Luke 6, the sixth chapter, say, give to every man that asketh of thee? That leaves you wide open to give. If somebody stops you on the street corner, says, friend, I need help, and puts his hand out. And according to Jesus' own words, you can even give to an old sinner. If he takes your waistcoat, that's a thief. Say, come on, go the second mile with him. Give him your waistcoat too. Isn't that right? Is it in the Bible? Give to your enemies. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And you'll notice wherever Jesus preached to the people, he was preaching to denominational people that had come out of those cold, dead denominations and come to hear him in public meetings just like this. And wherever he preached on giving, he left them free to give as God directed them and as God told them to give. How many of you ever give anything to your brother? Ever give anything to your sister? The New Testament giving standard was that no man set all of the goods he possessed for his own. But they laid it all down at the apostles' feet, and they divided to every man severally as he had need. And if I'm your brother, Sister Sheffield is your sister, Brother David is your brother, Gene Martin is your brother, what makes you think you can't come down here and hand David Davis or Gene Martin a $10 bill and say, here's some of the Lord's money, go buy yourself a chicken dinner or a new pair of shoes? Say something. They are servants of the Lord. This is the work of the Lord. This is the ministry. This is God's work, and God's money should go into God's work. We're just brothers and sisters. I was out here the other night, and God spoke to me. I didn't know what I had in my pocket, but God said, reach in there and get that out and give it to this woman. I never seen her in my life before. Didn't know her name, never met her, didn't know her. But I just reached in my pocket, and while she's coming down that line, I stuck it in her hand and she grabbed it. It was the same little woman that come down here and gave the last $2 she had. It was her grocery money. She said she didn't have no money to get home on. She was my sister. I couldn't let my sister walk home. Not when I had money in my pocket. God said, give her that money. And I'm not bragging, I just reached in there and just, I didn't even look at the bill. But I put it in her hand. She's my sister. And any preacher that tells me I can't give her $10 or $20 or $5 or $1 is a liar. I can give her money or him money if they need it and God tells me to. And I can give Jesus an offering wherever I find him. The 76th Psalm says, verse 11, bow and pay, and bring presents, listen to this, and bring presents unto him, that's Jesus, who ought to be feared. So that makes it scriptural for us to bring a present to Jesus, wherever we find him, wherever we locate him, and wherever he is. And in fact, he said, now, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Said, I'll pay my vows now in the presence of all the saints. How many saints are here? Shout amen. Amen. It's a good place to give Jesus an offering. How many saints here? Say amen. Amen. If you're a saint, say yes. Yes. Well, what are all you saints doing here if Jesus isn't here? But where you've got this many saints, Jesus must be here. Because the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6, I will walk in them and I will move in them. Paul said, Christ in me, he doeth the works. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We're all saints, and Jesus is in every one of us. And he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. Then Jesus is here, is that right? Yes. Then you can bring Jesus a present tonight. Don't tell me
that a preacher can stand over you with a whip and say, if you belong to this church, here's where you have to bring your money. That's why most of them make you belong. That's why most of them make you join. It's so they can stand over you with that membership whip and rule you with cruelty and force. That's why I don't believe in church membership. Too many preachers use it as a whip. Go on, shout. But I believe in fellowship. But when any preacher uses membership to rule you, he's on the wrong path and you're getting on the wrong path with him. Well, can I stop now? Is Jesus here? Then you can give him an offering here. Is God in this place? Is this the work of God? Are we one big family? Are we brothers and sisters? Why don't we call this place Bethel? Jacob called that place Bethel where he met God. Hundreds of you here have met God. You could call this truthfully and rightfully Bethel, where God is, where I met God. Say amen. Say yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me some light. Stick with the Bible. Stick with the Bible. Worship God wherever you find him. Some folks last night had church down here in the subway tunnel. That was church for a while. My God, when we got down the subway waiting for that train, one little woman was over in the corner of that subway shouting and dancing up a storm. That was church down there. They was preaching and testifying. I was singing, you don't have to ride on this train. Well, if you don't want to ride, you don't have to ride. If you don't want to ride, you don't have to ride. Well, if you don't want to ride, you don't have to ride. You don't have to ride on this train. Oh, if you don't want to go, you don't have to ride. If you don't want to go, oh, you don't have to go. Hey, if you don't want to go, oh, you don't have to go. You don't have to ride this train. If you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to go. If you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to go. If you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to go. You don't want to ride. You don't have to ride. If you don't want to ride, you don't have to ride. You don't want to ride. You don't have to ride. You don't have to ride this train. Hey, if you don't want to go to heaven, you don't have to go. You don't want to go to heaven. You don't have to. Hey, you don't want to go to heaven. You don't have to. You don't have to ride this glory train. Hey, if you don't want to ride. You don't want to ride. No, 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 you don't want to ride. You don't have to ride this train. Hey, if you don't want to go, you don't have to. You don't want to go. If you don't want to go now, you don't have to ride this train. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You don't have to ride on this train. Yes. Find a seat. I want to say just a few more words. In 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, a woman gave the last cake she had
She didn't give it to the pastor. She didn't give it to her church. Well, if her pastor found that out, he'd have ripped her up one side and down the other. Said, what do you mean? Giving that old bald-headed prophet the last cake you got when you belonged to my church. Said, you ought to have brought that to my church and give that to me. My God, she'd been given to him for so long and he never had blessed her. The only thing that ever happened to her under his ministry was the barrel got emptier and emptier and emptier. And she became more in bondage as the days got by, and finally so bound by poverty, she didn't know what to do, and God had to send an undenominational preacher to her house to free her and loose her. Listen, what I'm trying to show you, how scriptural it is for you to be led of God in your giving. Here is a little widow in her own home that hears the voice of God, led by the Spirit of God to give, not in the synagogue, not to take it to church, but give it to the man that God sent to her. Deliver her. As he came down the road, she and her son had just gathered a couple of sticks to build one more fire, to scrape the last bit of meal out of the barrel, had enough to make one more cake. Elijah said, bring me some water. She started after, he said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Oh, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, there's not a bit of bread in the house. Only a handful of meal in a barrel and a few drops of oil in the coos. Said, if he's going to make one more cake, eat it together, and then lay down and starve to death together. Do you believe Elijah was a man of God? Then he did not commit sin when he took that offering, because he wasn't in somebody's church. My God, he wasn't in nobody's church when he took that offering. But God was in the offering. God must have been in that offering because he performed one of the greatest miracles of all time for that little widow woman. Because she obeyed a man of God. Why, it's even scriptural for you to give to a man of God. Give your last cake if he knocks on your door. If you see him coming down the road, because Elijah was just coming down the road. But there's where God performed a mighty miracle for this woman. What makes you think you have to confine all your giving or paying of tithes where somebody told you you had to? I believe every one of us, like the little widow in 2 Kings 17, verse King 17, ought to be able to hear God and be led of God and directed by God and blessed of God when we give to the prophet of God whom God has sent to us. Whether he sent us to Chicago, Los Angeles, San Jose, Seattle, or Philadelphia, Washington, Miami, or here in New York City. You ought to be able to hear God say, give, and I'll give you a miracle. Why, he said, lady, make me a little cake first. Then go back and make for thyself. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto thee, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord thy God send rain upon the land. And she went, and she did. What? According to what the preacher said? No, according to what God said. Because the Bible said she went and did according to the... She went and she did according to the saying of Elijah. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither the cross truce of all fail, according to the word of God, which God spake by Elijah. So it was Elijah's lips and tongue and vocal organs and cords making the sound, producing the sound. But it was God up in heaven doing the talking. I turned the dial of my radio, and it's my speaker and the radio producing the sound. Somebody else way miles away at a transmitter is doing the talking. My radio is just producing the sound. And Elijah was just God's mouthpiece, like a radio speaker producing the sound. But the transmitter
was in heaven. God was transmitting sound from heaven, just coming through a man's lips. Amen? God can still be a transmitter and just speak through my lips. That was God doing the talking through a man. And what was God telling the widow woman to do? Give outside her church. Oh my God. Give outside her four walls. Give outside her denomination. Give to a man she'd never seen, never met. But God knew him. Because God had already talked to her before he got there and told her that he was sending a man. And God had already talked to Elijah and told him that he'd already spoken to a little widow woman to sustain him while he was in that campaign. And Elijah was there for a campaign. And God told that little widow woman to take him into her home and feed him and give to him while he was holding that revival. Now this was the word of God. God had already told that widow woman, take him into your home and feed him and give him a room and give him a bed and give him food. She gave him the last offering she had, and God performed a miracle for it. And all of it happened outside her denomination and happened outside her church, but it was all in God and in the will of God. I believe what God's trying to do here tonight is offset some of this absurd, unscriptural teaching by some unscriptural shepherds. I thank God for true shepherds. But Ezekiel was against some shepherds, because God was. God said, I'm against the shepherds. And said, I will deliver my sheep out of their mouth. This is about time some of these shepherds quit chewing on you sheep. Thank God for good shepherds. God's got a lot of good ones. But God's got a lot of them that aren't in it. They're just in it because of what they can get. They clip the wool off your back. And Ezekiel said to kill them that are fed, but they feed not the sheep. God said, I'm against the shepherds. And some of you sheep are in the wrong sheep pen. God have mercy on you when this campaign comes to a close. If you go back to that old man-made sheepfold where that shepherd don't do anything but tear the hide off of you and beat you up one side and down the other and rip you up and rip you down because you've made a pledge and because you've given something. You know what I said to Sister Sheffield? There's Brother Joseph sitting back there, the manager here. Joseph? Do you know if the owner would like to sell this place? I feel like God would like for us to buy it and turn it into a church for Sister Sheffield. Amen. We've got enough people here to buy it. Is it for sale? Yes. How much? How many? How many? 400,000? Well, that's cheap. Yes. Why, we've turned this thing Rockland Palace Dance Hall. Rockland Palace Ballroom. My God, we'll turn this into a rock and roll church. Get everybody on the rock, place their names on the roll. Amen. Amen. I tell you what I feel in my spirit. I'm praying. And I'm believing that God is going to give Sister Sheffield a big place here in New York City where people from all over this area can come every night in the week and have revival, and where they can come every morning and pray. Come here, Sister Sheffield. I'm not saying that I've got any direct leading from God to buy this place or have you help her buy it. This may not be the place. But God has a place. But I believe this will make a beautiful church. Tear down some of this ballroom paraphernalia. Painted white and gold. My Lord. Put some pews in here and put a new platform in here. A big old Hammond organ, some big speakers up here in the loft, and a big old Steinway piano over here. My God, get this choir back here. Woo! Wouldn't they have a time? And here's what I'm saying. God, have mercy on you people that go back into these old cold, dead churches where you're getting no food for your soul. Where you're being beaten to death and whipped to death and ruled by force and cruelty. If you do, God will let you and most of your families go to hell. Whatever one of you ought to do is find you a church where you are free in the spirit to believe, to hear, to give. Sister Sheffield ought to have 200-300 new people over there Sunday morning behind her in that church. Say, Sister Sheffield, we've come to back you up and to stand behind you. And whatever God tells you to do, we're with you. God's hand is upon this woman. God's not only pouring his spirit out on men, God's pouring his spirit out on women. Say yes. Let's all stand and pray. Come here, Sister Sheffield. Come, Brother Don, Brother Rogers and Jean. I believe it's time we believe God with this woman. They have a church over on 125th Street, 214 East 125th here in New York City. They can get several hundred people in there, but it's not big enough. God wants something like this place. Let's go down and buy that St. Nick's Arena. Oh, they're tearing it down. Well, God's got something in this city. And God's got a place where a group of people can get together, place their tithes and offerings and buy it and pay for it, so you can be free to go to church without getting beat to death. Where you can go to church to be fed instead of cook chicken to feed everybody else. God never called you to fry fish. God called you to catch fish. How many believe I'm in the Spirit? God's going to move and God's going to do something tonight. God's going to give you a new church here in New York City. Say something, Sister Shasta.
I know this is God. I know this is God. Amen. I know when God's moving. I felt that God was going to do something. I felt this all day long. I didn't know what to. I just didn't know what I felt, but I knew God was going to do something. People, God loves you right here in New York City. Hallelujah. And if I'm the person, I'll go all the way with God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Let's just praise him. Let's just praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God.
Yea, that thou mightest know that the Lord thy God has called thee out, yea, even to bring thee in, saith the Lord. And I say unto thee, my children, if thou shalt hear my voice, and yea, shall do that which is pleasing in my sight, yea, I say, pastures, and yea, thou shalt lay down in green pastures, and yea, thou shalt feed by the still waters, and yea, I say unto thee, I shall restore thy soul, and yea, even that which the cankerworm have eaten, yea, that which the caterpillar have eaten, I will restore unto thee, and yea, thou shalt go forth, and thou shalt be fat.